Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's 1010. Yesterday, Ray Kaplan was on our show. She's that attorney that specializes in helping people minimize their college debt payments. And at one point in the conversation, I said to Ray, in fact, it was at the beginning of the conversation, I hope your hair is okay, because we were all laughing about how bad our hair is. Good morning, Ray. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm well. How are you?
Good. Afterwards, you sent me a text, and now I felt bad about teasing you about how bad all of our hair must look, because in the text you said that your husband was diagnosed with COVID-19. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep.
When did that happen? Tell me about that.
So that was right around, March 12th or 13th, actually, is when he started coming down with a fever. And, you know, that was back then. Everyone was aware of COVID, but nobody really knew exactly, what the exact symptoms are, when to be sure if you have it. And the testing was also still not very efficient. And so because my husband is a neurosurgeon at Lutheran General, and because he's in healthcare, as soon as he came down with a fever at all, he went into the ER to get tested that evening. And it took a long time for the test results to come in, because that just happened to be at the beginning of the epidemic or pandemic, and they were changing how they were doing the testing, and they ended up sending it to California. So for 7 to 10 days, we had no test results, actually. But he became feverish. I think his fever went up to about 101 or 102 that evening. And his doctor, who is actually an infectious disease doctor, recommended pretty much just Tylenol and home care fluids and rest. And so that's what we were doing for about 7 days at home. And he just started getting progressively worse and worse. The cough began, which was kind of a dry cough, and the fever would go up pretty much every night and every day to 103, 104. And he was just extremely fatigued, terrible body aches that were just almost, just debilitating, chills, fevers, headaches, everything, just generally feeling really terrible.
But this is him at home, so you guys aren't hospitalized starting March 13th. You've got this condition, he does. And how long did he live at home like that then?
So at home he was 7 days like that, and because everything was, just coming out about COVID, I was constantly disinfecting. We were staying in separate rooms. I was checking on him hourly, though. I was very concerned, and we had no test results. However, his doctor did say, because you have every single symptom, we're pretty sure that it's COVID-19.
Did he lose his sense of taste?
He lost his sense of taste. He lost his sense of smell. And I truly have never seen him that ill before. And my husband, I should say, too, is a very healthy 53-year-old, boundless energy. I mean, he works constantly. And, we're not inclined to be very nervous about these kinds of things.
So did you all think it was then COVID-19?
We did. Just because we knew from the symptoms and what his doctor was saying that it was highly likely that it was COVID.
So you assumed he had it. The test results aren't in for a week or more. You're living with him. Were you worried that you were going to get it?
I was very worried, mostly because I could see what he was going through. And truthfully, I'm not great with illnesses, and I was just afraid because I could see that he was actually really suffering with it. And he became also, he was having some shortness of breath issues, and also we're completely in isolation. So I was taking care of him. He had no energy to really do anything. And I couldn't help but thinking, if I get sick, who's going to take care of us? How is this going to work exactly? It's not like we can have somebody come into the house, right? Because you can't expose people.
I know that your husband was eventually hospitalized, that he was laid up with this for a solid 2 weeks. Tell me about that, Ray, after this. It's 10:15. This is WGN. Ray Kaplan from the Kaplan Law Firm's on the phone. a frequent guest here at WGN. She was telling you and me about her husband coming down with coronavirus, that you were living in the same house with him, doing everything you could to stay distanced. Did you also come down with COVID-19?
I did. And so, let's see, my illness began about 6 or 7 days into when my husband was sick. And at that point, you know, things were changing and evolving so quickly. They were talking about, this is all over the news, that hydroxychloroquine, I think the generic name is Plaquenil. So it was prescribed for me as soon as my fever hit about 102. And I took it immediately. And I have to tell you, I was better within 24 to 36 hours, about a 75 to 80% difference. I mean, it was, for me, at least, it was a complete miracle drug.
And yet, did your husband take it also?
He did. And so apparently with this drug, it and I'm using layman's terms because, well, I'm not a doctor, but my understanding is that it prevents the virus in some ways from binding to your cells. And so if you take it early on, you have a very, very good, most of the time have a very good response to it. My husband, though, his virus had already been baked in for about 6 or 7 days. So he did begin taking it. And later when he was hospitalized, they kept him on it. And they actually added azithromycin to that treatment as well. I guess there were studies in France that Plaquenil along with azithromycin, they were having a very, very good cure rate, and they still are. So that still seems to be the treatment that they're going with. For me, it was miraculous.
You said for a week then your husband, before he was admitted, was living at home with you, 104 fever, terrible body aches. He was debilitated. You all knew that it was, though the test results frustratingly weren't in yet.
Right.
Did you worry that you were going to get it? Did you think, this is a fool's game for me to try and take care of him? Now I'm going to get the virus.
I was very worried. I was disinfecting everything constantly, in addition to caretaking, just constantly cleaning everything, stripping sheets, washing our clothes all the time.
I mean, he's your husband. It's the two of you. You got to help him out, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Wearing masks, wearing gloves, but just still taking care of him constantly. Part of me cared, part of me didn't care. And again, I just didn't want to become, you know, incapacitated so I couldn't take care of either one of us. Because
what led, Ray, to you then finally getting admitted to the hospital?
Well, what happened is that we had a pulse oximeter, which measures the level of the oxygen in your blood. So if it goes below 90, then you're essentially oxygenating your blood at the same rate of like a 85 or 90 year old man. So your organs are not getting the required oxygen, and it can be pretty dangerous. And his went down to about 87 at one point. So we went to the ER, and I think this was, for me, the worst part of the entire experience, because the hospital was pretty much on a lockdown. I couldn't get in there. By this time, I was completely fine, but my husband obviously wasn't doing well at all, and I wasn't allowed in. I wasn't allowed to see him. I was wearing a mask, and I thought, well, I'm his wife, so I'm obviously going to be allowed in there. Plus, this is my husband's hospital. It's a very good hospital, and I wasn't allowed in, and I was never allowed to see him. And so it was very, very difficult. They moved him pretty quickly into the ICU, the intensive care unit, and they put him on oxygen. And I was very concerned because I was in constant contact with his doctors that they were going to have to intubate him, which, for those of you that don't know, which is a tube is inserted all the way down into your lungs, and they have to put you to sleep, and it's kind of like a medically induced coma so that they can breathe for you. And the mortality rate goes up exponentially for those who are intubated. And so the more oxygen that they had to put him on, the closer he was getting to them intubating him. And it was just awful. I have never prayed so much in my life, and I've never I was terrified, honestly, that I was never going to see him again, because I knew I was not going to be able to go to the hospital no matter what to see him. And he was just getting weaker and weaker and closer and closer to intubation. So it was really a very, very dark and very scary time.
Yeah, he had all of those services, but we don't have any medicine. The chloroquine that you took didn't get to him in time. So did the virus just run its course on him while he was in the hospital then?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I was speaking with his doctor, and his doctor said that days, so basically the virus is a 14 to 16 day, for most people, course, and days 8 to 12 are generally the worst, and that's when you're most at risk for respiratory distress or respiratory failure. And he was right walking that line where they were going to have to intubate him, and then they said many times on the 14th day they start to see some improvement. And miraculously, so the night before, they had increased his oxygen level, and I was just, and honestly, John, I was just at the depths of despair. I was just at this point sure that I was not going to see my husband again. And the 14th day, I called him as I do every morning, and he said, "I feel better." And about a few hours later, they started to reduce his oxygen, and he started to get better. And I think I was telling you yesterday, when he was being escorted out of the ICU and he was passing all of the rooms, everybody on that floor, which was kind of the COVID floor, had been intubated. Mm-hmm. And again, the mortality rate for this disease goes up exponentially when you are intubated. So for any listeners out there who are not taking this seriously, I cannot stress enough how very close to losing my husband I came.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that it worked out that way, and that's just a terrifying thing. You know, Ray, I'm one of those people that I told you about the conversation I had with my son the other day. He works in a high-traffic grocery store, and I said, you're probably not going to get it, and if you do, it's probably going to be a mild case, and even if it's a more severe case, you're a young, healthy man, you'll be okay. And that's sort of the mental calculation all of us are making, but this is the other end of the extreme, and your husband didn't do anything wrong. No. He's a doctor. He's seeing patients. He was, I guess, vulnerable that way. But this thing can be devastating. And I wonder if you would have suffered as much as your husband did. You're both living in the same house now. You're both over it. You're both well. Right. Were you then, did you get tested for it?
No, I never got tested. They pretty much just assumed that I had it.
Did you lose your sense of smell and taste?
I did.
So you would, with the state is counting them to the person, your husband is counted. Eventually, his results came in negative, and then another test came in positive. But right, you've never been tested at all.
Correct. That's correct.
I'm out of time, Ray.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I think you've all given us a reminder about how seriously to take this. And your husband's relatively well now?
Yes, he's well. He's home now, released from the ICU, and I'm really very thankful to God and just happy that we really dodged a bullet.
We'll talk again soon. Stay well.
Thanks, John. You too.